the sooner you realize that it's never going to be a straight line, the better off you'll be. And, you know, one of the characteristics I look for in employees when I'm hiring is adaptability. You know, being able to adapt to different situations and change. I look for people, too, that are in customer service.
Welcome to the Rise with Diana podcast, the podcast for working women leaders who are dedicated to doing the greatest work in a sound body, mind, and spirit. I'm Diana Patton, ex-corporate executive and civil rights attorney turned entrepreneur and business coach, helping working women leaders to gain the confidence to speak up and advocate for themselves and take uncomfortable action through daily disciplined practices to experience true life success without sacrificing their sanity. It wasn't that long ago that I was taking things way too personal, secretly having something to prove, and doing my best to fake it like I had it all together. I thought the appearance of success was the glue holding my life together, but it was that appearance of success and hustling to prove my worth that was ruining my life. In this podcast, my goal is to teach you the tried and true secrets of living your greatest authentic life. You with me? Let's get ready to rise. Hi, everybody. I am so excited to tell you about my next guest, Mary Ann Korenick. And she is my friend that I met in the universe, the cosmos that descended down through LinkedIn. Thank God. Thank you. You know, shout out to LinkedIn for connecting us. She is the CEO of the Wintrust Wealth Management. Am I saying that right? CEO of the Chicago Trust Company, which is a division of Wintrust. And so we're so excited to have her because let me tell you something, y'all. You know, you got to know the power of your story. And she throws her story out there. I actually vibrated to it because what you seek is seeking you. And we connected. So, Mary Ann, I'm so glad that you are here with us. And I want you to start off with who you are, what you do, a little bit of your background, and tell us about your family. Let's just start right there.
First of all, thank you for inviting me to your podcast, Diana. I am so honored to be here today. Yeah. Where to start? You know, I think the most important thing about my childhood is that both my parents were not born here. They immigrated here separately from the former Yugoslavia. I'm 100% Croatian. My parents came here with nothing and followed their American dream and had four children. I'm the youngest of the four, only by 3 minutes. I have a twin brother.
I love it.
And so, you know, I think the most important part about my childhood and my upbringing was that dream big mentality that my parents had. But it came with a lot of sacrifices that they made for us, and they instilled a lot of values in us, like hard work. Mm-hmm. So I've worked since I was 12 years old. I know that's probably not legal in a lot of states, but, you know, right down to, you know, having a teacher tap me on the shoulder and say, you want to be the bus girl at the Friday night fish fry at the Thornton American Legion Hall. That's hard work. And coming home smelling like fish and ranch dressing was not fun for $25 a night. And we thought that made us rich. Right.
Yeah.
So from 12 years old, from, you know, those jobs to babysitting, to, you know, working customer service and retail, and, you know, obviously led to some big dreams for me. Early on, however, I did know that I had a gift. I had a gift for speaking up, speaking out, and sometimes getting myself in a little trouble for that. We can touch upon that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But I kind of figured out by the time I was in a junior in high school, I wanted to be a litigator and an attorney. Mm. And so that was a dream of mine. College just seemed to be like, you know, a stepping stone to what was ultimately law school. And I know you're nodding your head because you're feeling the same.
Yes.
And so, you know, that part, my parents really instilled the importance of education. Mm-hmm. And so for many reasons, their children's paths have, you know, took a lot of different directions. And while my siblings are all very successful, I was the only one to go to college. Finish and then let alone go to law school. So they had very high hopes very high hopes for their baby girl. Yeah. And so I'm really proud of that. I'm really proud of finishing, you know, school within the time frame with it, which I was allowed before the financial end would be cut off. And so, you know, and a lot of my success through my educational career came from those values that my parents instilled.
Yes. This is what I love.
Because they didn't have those opportunities. You know, my mom had a sixth grade education. She was a cleaning lady. My dad didn't have any formal post-high school education. And he was a carpenter, a Finnish carpenter for 42 years. I'm proud. A lot of his work is within one of the buildings that I work at downtown. Wow. He's worked for a lot of different families. And at one point, I remember not being too proud of being a blue collar family. You kind of go through that period of life. But I'll share a story. You know, remember that first time you came home from college and you thought your, you know what, didn't stick?
Right. Of course. Right.
You know, and you're doing your thing. You know, you got all the freedom in the world away at school, come home. That freedom goes away as the youngest daughter. My dad told me on a Saturday night, you're going to my Christmas party with me because your mother is sick.
Wow.
I told myself, it's Saturday night. I'm not going to a party with a bunch of carpenters. Right.
Right.
And well, you didn't say no to my dad for sure. And I go to this party and I'm not joking. He wasn't the boss. Right. But if one guy didn't come up to me, you know, 30 did just to tell me how amazing my dad was and how my dad had taught them so many things and their trade and their skill and their art. Mm. And a lot of them were like, your dad's pretty mean. Like, you don't have to tell me, you know. But that was one of my proudest moments.
Just I love that.
You know, it's kind of like with your kids, you know, you can tell your kids they're great, but you know, when other people tell you how great your kids are, it's just the most, you know, touching compliment that you can take. And I took a lot away from that. It was humbling for me, too, because I realized very quickly that my shit didn't stink.
Yeah.
No, I meant that it did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes. I you know, I love two very profound things you said. Number one, your childhood was very, you know, like difficult from the standpoint of not fitting in, right? And that had to have a profound impact upon you and your father. I've always said that there's such a beautiful dance between a father and her daughter. And anytime I get to lean into people who actually had that growing up, it just makes me smile. How does that impact the way you work today? How does that formative years and those learnings and how you understand that you didn't stink, how did that prepare you as you show up today, frame you?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because one of the things I don't tolerate very well is mediocrity. Mm. You know, what's the least I can do and still keep my job? Mm-hmm. What's the least I can do and still save my marriage?
Did y'all
what's
hear that? Rise up, you man. Know? The
and
least
like
I can
no
do.
No room in my life for mediocrity. And I honestly think it's one of the aspects of my life that led to my first marriage failing. And, you know, because I had these dreams and these goals and nothing was going to stop me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is not just what my parents wanted for me, but what then I, as an adult, a young adult, realize I want for me.
Right.
And then you become a parent and now you want it for yourself and your family. Mm. So, you know, I just can't stress, I guess where I sit back today as leading a company of 54 employees and I watch, you know, of every generation, you know, I sometimes find myself feeling pretty old, like, well, back in the day when I was your age.
Rolling it uphill.
You know? But it's different. We have to adapt too as leaders, right? Because, you know, there's a lot of things I did wrong early in my career to the detriment, of my kids and other, you know, just you have to prioritize things. You have to make a living. You have to support them. But there's ways that I could have gone about it differently. I think that mediocrity is what really stands out in the answer to your question, because I still feel like you can, I hate the word balance. It's not a balance. It's prioritizing, you know, it's making sure that you take time for yourself. You take time for the ones you love, but you also you know, here's one thing I've been telling a lot of young folks. We've got a really robust internship program at Wintrust happening right now for over a couple hundred college students. Wow. You know, 4,000 applicants and a couple hundred get to work at Wintrust, and they're so energized and proud, and they you know, want to learn. But what I've been telling people is stop thinking about yourself so much and start thinking in terms of what is it that I can do to make a difference for the company? Mm. And, you know, that mentality doesn't exist as much as it used to. Mm-hmm. I think when we start, because for me, when I did that, it all came back to me. And mm-hmm. one of the best mentors in my life said to me, Marianne, I don't have all those initials next to your name like you do, but I learned one thing very quickly. You get what you give. Mm. You get what you give. And she taught me the importance of giving back to the communities and doing that type of volunteer work in conjunction with the rest of your career and your life and your personal life. And it just kind of all comes together.
Yeah.
For some of us, like myself, late bloomer over here. But I don't want that for younger folks, especially the ones that I mentor. I want them to realize that much sooner than I ever did.
Yeah. So let's break it down. Because in the culture today, we do think about ourselves, right? We are all about showing up as ourselves, sorta. It really requires us to get to know thyself, right? And it sounds like, you know, in order to do good for your company, you really need to know yourself so that you're not always focused on yourself. Y'all hear that? Like, this is a dynamic. So let's break it down. How does one really get to know thyself, be comfortable with thyself, to know what it is that you can contribute so you don't sound like ChatGPT or a bot? How do you do that? Give me a little nugget of what a young person, you would tell a young person, or even a grown woman who has realized she'd just been checking the boxes and showing up with this fake smile. What do you tell her?
Right.
Or him?
You know, first thing I would say is just network. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to reach out to people that aren't like yourself. You have so much to learn from others that are different than you. Mm-hmm. Look, you know, you and I, you know, we felt different when we went to law school, right?
Right.
You know, I felt so intimidated, so insecure. Nobody, you know, my family were attorneys or professionals. You know, jump out of that box and understand yourself. The other thing is be honest with yourself. You got to ask for feedback, but you got to expect some negative feedback and figure out what those strengths are. If your strength is you're very, you know, detail orientated and you're not a people person, there's a lot of strength in that. And that's much needed in today's workforce.
Yeah.
If you're an outgoing person and you got to be the star of the show and you got all these great ideas and everything, figure out a way to express them and find a safe place. When I say safe place, I mean a safe employer that encourages that type of development. I mean, one of my greatest rewards now at this stage in my career is watching the development of somebody's career from start to here's what I want, here's where I want to be a few years from. What path do you have for me, Marianne? Mm-hmm. And I'm able to clearly define that path. You put in the work, you put in the dedication, will invest in you.
Yeah.
Find an employer that cares about you that much to think about, not just 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Have a succession plan, all those things. Mm. And then as leaders too, and I think you know this about me, but you know, for your listeners, you got to be so fearless when it comes to sharing your story and all the bad stuff about your story. Because there is a lot of bad stuff and a lot of baggage along the way. People see me and they see CEO, big company, all that. No. It took years and years of grit and hard work and dedication. And yes, a lot of failures to get to this point and a lot of learning along the way.
Yeah.
What
you say is so valuable. And I just want us as listeners to break down what she said, because honestly, when you look at the production of the efficiency of a person, you have to break it down to its finer parts. One, you said, got to speak up. You got to talk to people. And I really think this is you and I do share this in common. Someone who may be a little bit more reserved might find that to be very uncomfortable, but that is a point of knowing and knowledge. And the other aspect of what you said is safety. You know, mentorship is important, and it's really critical as we begin to show up and say, we got to find those safe spaces. And I know that's really hard. And out there in Rise with Diana podcast land, I know it's hard to find those spaces, but speaking up is a good place to start. Story. And I really want us to understand the power of this, because again, that's what made me vibrate to you because of your story. When did you see a shift in your feeling like, I really have a powerful story and I love it? Because you said there was a time where you were like, I don't want people to know, you know, what I'm
right.
When was it for you? Because I know we all have those. Maybe it's not just one profound moment, but maybe you can think of one thing that made you start to go, I really should dive into this more.
Yeah, I think it's a few chapters. I think one of the biggest turning points for me was, I've been working in Arizona for a bank, and I didn't manage a lot of people or have a lot of leadership responsibilities. More of a sales and growth and administration. And I got this call from a guy that I used to work with here in Chicago, who now was with another bank, and they were growing and growing. And he says to me, he goes, Marianne, when are you going to come home? We need you. We need somebody like you to lead this trust department for this super regional bank. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of women look at that and they go, I can't do that. I haven't done that before.
Right.
And for the first time in my life, I'm like, I can do this.
Yes.
This is a turning point.
Yeah.
Because men don't go, I can't do that. Right. I've never done it before. They're like, I'll just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm.
For the most part. And so I just, and then my marriage had been failing. Mm-hmm. And I decided, I'm going to go back to Chicago where my family is, where, you know, my kids can have a life with their grandparents. And I'm going to make some tough decisions despite really working hard at it, counseling, all those things. I just knew. And, you know, the funny thing is, I told my then husband about this opportunity and he didn't believe me.
Mm.
And then he said, they're never going to pay you that. And it's like, well, there's your answer. Thank you, God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so that was a turning point. It was, okay, this marriage is not working. And, you know, you can't have your personal life be completely, you know, in the gutter and your professional life taking off.
Say that louder for the people in the back.
You can't have your personal life in the gutter and all those things creating so many insecurities about you and your, and, you know, and this is what I say to people, with your professional career taking, it's not going to work. They have to be pretty much symbiotic. They can't be completely aligned at all times. That's not reality, right? But when I talk to women in particular, this is what I say. The most important decision you make in your life is not where you go to school. It's not where you live. It's not what religion you practice. It's not the career path that you choose.
Come on.
It is who you choose to share it with.
Would you? Come on. Yes.
The most important decision you make is who you choose, and having that clear communication and goals and aligning that, because that is where I failed. I failed.
Yeah. Yes.
And I don't mind talking about that failure, because, you know, people, I made the wrong decision the first time around. I did. Mm-hmm. I did that. And I own it. Mm-hmm. But you know, I spoke to a leadership conference last week or two. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. 2 weeks
and kick butt.
And there was 150 women in the room and a few men, but I shared that story and you know, the ability to have that financial freedom too. Cause I think a lot of women stay for financial reasons. It's, you know, but they're and children, of course. But I made that leap because when I did move back to Chicago and I did take that big job on, you know, my dad unfortunately got cancer and, you know, long story short, told me, you know, practically on his deathbed, when are you going to be happy, Marianne? Mm. When are you going to be happy?
I'm gonna be happy.
You know? And so I made the decision to file for divorce and 2.5 long years later, custody battle almost bankrupted me. It, you know, it proved to be one of the most courageous moves and, yes, one of the most pivotal times in my life.
Yes.
Because now I'm running, you know, a big division for this bank. I've got all these new people reporting to me, and I'm going through a terrible litigation, basically, to see who's going to get custody of our kids. And let me tell you, in the grand scheme of things, you know, a lot of people go through divorce, right?
Yeah.
But a custody battle is a
whole other animal.
In and of itself, right? Yeah. But I learned a lot about myself as a woman, as a working woman, as a mom, you know, and I really think that moment in my career was pivotal. The other pivotal moment at Wintrust was a little over 6 years ago, getting turned down for a big promotion that I thought I had.
Yeah.
You know, I checked every box off, right? And having some folks here, you know, at Wintrust, the company I loved and dedicated my career to and my leadership to, and you know, the company at that point had been so good to me. And you know, I had to take a step back and go, why did this happen to me? And then I have people, you know, higher up tell you, well, we thought that what you're doing now was what was best for you. Don't ever let anybody else tell you what's best for you. You know what's best for you.
Yes.
And so I had a decision to make then. Should I stay or should I go now?
Should I stay or should I go now?
And I made the decision to stay.
Yes.
And the reason why is because I just love this company so much. I love what we were founded upon, where we once were, where we're headed. And I had a tremendous network of support for me.
Yes.
You know, at that point, I just felt like I could be bitter or I could be better. I chose to be better.
I love, you know, I can't express, you guys, there's so much goodness here. And I want to pause just for a moment for you to take that in, right? We are talking about showing up as your authentic self, which I always say when you have imposter syndrome, the root is a lack of identification of who you truly are, right? And loving your story and seeing the failures and all the beautiful opportunities. This ain't something that you just woke up like this. I woke up like this. No, you didn't wake up like this. You had to architecturally create a new vision, a new path for you, utilizing all of the goodness that came from your dad, that came from your childhood and all these things, and building this new beautiful house. That's what you did, because your dad asked you, when are you going to be happy? And you answered that. And so for my listeners out here, know that we are going to be building together. That's why we hear these beautiful stories and know that we can, you know, lotus flowers come from mud. So we have to look at the mud as a beautiful, beautiful place. You're resilient, aren't you? You rebound things. You have this bounce back. And I just love that about you. You are going to be speaking at the All Rise Live Global Summit. And I want to hear all of this, but what would you say, because we're going to be talking about all the things dealing with authenticity and mapping out your vision. How do you, like when you left and you said, I'm going to be better, not bitter, did you sit down and start to write down the things that you're going to start to believe about yourself?
Yeah, I don't know if I wrote it down so much as I just took a step back and decided I'm not going to let this define me.
Yes.
I'm not going to let, and I'm going to take this experience. And look, the person who got the job, I wanted nothing but his success.
Right.
And I wanted nothing but for him to feel what I felt about the company that he was joining. And so you've got to look at your life and go, you know what? I'm going to concentrate on something else. I'm going to concentrate on being even better at my current role. Mm-hmm. And thankfully at that point I was in a leadership role and I was, you know, I was changing lives, you know, looking at people and seeing something in them, tapping them on the shoulder and going, you know, I really think you'd be good at this, but here's what you got to do to get there. Are you going to put in the work? 'Cause I'll put in the investment in you if you put in the work. You know, it's that kind of thing. I think I lost sight of the question.
No, you answered it perfectly. And how many of y'all want Mary Ann to be your mentor? I know I do. But I want to ask you a great question we ask every podcast interview.
Sure.
Is do you feel you're doing your greatest work now? And how would you define your greatest work for you?
So professionally, I do. I really feel I'm at this pinnacle point. I'm like this fairy tale that came true at 57 years old. I'm not even joking, and you're going to make me cry. But, you know, it's, for me, I'm able as a leader for the Chicago Trust Company to help people make a living, mm-hmm. support their families, and then, of course, grow within their careers.
Yes.
And instill that love of company that I have. Mm-hmm. And I see it. And I see it in, you know, one of my employees who I recruited after knowing her for 20 years. I was her boss 20 years ago, and I'm going to get her. And, you know, she'll be celebrating her fourth year here in November. I see personally never giving up.
Mm.
Just never giving up, never giving up on. And, you know, doesn't that sound ironic from somebody who divorced her husband?
Yes.
But never give up on your happiness,
yes.
right?
Yes.
You know, and so I have a lot of friends that are older that are single that have given up on dating.
Mm.
And I said to myself, despite all the moving around I did, I lived in Arizona, Illinois, Philadelphia, really enjoyed the many moves that I've had. But I said, I'm never going to give up on love either.
Mm-hmm.
And at the, you know, 2017, I was about to say, you know, I'm going to give it a pause. And then I met my current husband, and we got married on 4-3-2-1.
Yes.
And during the pandemic, and he balances me. And I would say that I'm a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a lot to handle. And he is the perfect match for handling all of this.
Yes. And I'm so grateful that you're a lot. Yes. We both are a lot. But most people who are living and doing their greatest work and know they're being called to do the greatest work know we're a lot for the mission. We have to. But how do you stay grounded? What do you do? What's your practice behind the scenes?
Oh, well, I mean, physically, you know, you can't give up. You've got to put in the work. So I do work out, try at least 5 days a week minimum.
Yeah.
And that's a combination of many things. I'm learning, too, that building muscle at any age is very, very important, especially I have a grandson who's about to turn 1 year old. And when I get on the floor, it's more difficult to get back up. So I'm working on that. I think, you know, finding somebody, you know, because later on in life, you know, looks fade, right? Mm. All that stuff. But you got to sit down. And I said this to myself, is this a person that I can spend the rest of my life with when we're not working,
yeah.
when we're not dedicated, you know, in retirement and those kind of things? So find a lot of things that you enjoy doing together. We love to cook. We we just bought electric bicycles. So we're going to be that
so
couple,
cool.
you know,
I love
like
it.
Incorporating physical activity into your time together.
Yes.
And the other thing that I think is the secret to longevity is, you know, besides nutrition, we really, really try to tackle our nutrition and eat whole foods and not processed foods and things like that. I think it's about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think you're ever too old to form new ones. Look, you and I
yes.
haven't even known each other a year now.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're almost every day on
yeah.
text and
yeah.
talking and, you know, and being open to new relationships.
Mm.
But I also think the secret is, you know, that friendship base. I have this tribe of women. Oh my God. You know, what would I do without them?
Yeah.
Having somebody in your life that supports that because
mm-hmm.
I didn't have that the first time, supports your career. You know, you and I, you know, you were in corporate America. You get it, man.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have somebody by your side that's a good corporate husband,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Or partner or spouse.
Yeah.
You've got to have somebody that supports that
yeah.
because if that person is making you feel guilty for, you know, all the evening things you got to do, you know, doing a summit,
right.
being out of town for a few days, you know,
yeah.
That's not going to help you be your best self for
right.
the people attending the summit. You
right.
got to have that system.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's about relationships. And, you know, when we look at our retirement in the future, we want to be in a community where, you know, people golf and people are active and, you know, because like begets like.
Yes.
And, you know, the sedentary nature of our society today is killing us.
Yes.
So, you know, I was just with a prospective client yesterday and a law professor, and he was talking about how he teaches the law of federal regulation for food in the food industry. And I'm just fascinated by that. So I'm going to go to his class just to sit in one day.
Yes.
I mean, it's things like that just constantly keep the brain moving, reading, listening to podcasts. You know, music's great. We both love music. I know you love music. I wish I could sing like you. But, you know, when you're in your car like I am a lot, I listen to all different kinds of podcasts. They can be economic. They can be self-help. They can be, you know, fashion. They can be how to make a smoky eye, you know.
Like, I know that's right. I love this.
You know? And,
do you see why this woman's my friend? I mean, you're so fascinating. You're so beautiful in every single way. And there's so many people who need your voice. And I've been encouraging Marianne to speak more and to get out on more stages and to be in the universe because we need you. And I'm grateful that you're, again, joining the All Rise Live Global Summit stage. And I can't wait to have you bless so many of the women who will be there. There's someone out here who's really struggling to trust themselves, and we need to give her some hope today. What's one nugget that you can give to her to help her? Because she might be listening to us as she's driving. She might be going home crying because she's really feeling lost. She might be wondering, how do I actually speak up? How do I say something to a coworker? What's one piece of advice we can give her from your heart?
I think it's just develop that courage.
Mm.
Develop it. Sit down with yourself in silence. Mm. Practice. Prepare. You know, if you're going to share something that's difficult and you're fearful about it, figure out who your audience is, research, just know. I've been teaching my own children this.
Yes.
The power of the pause.
Mm-hmm.
Silence has so much power.
Mm.
So while you're preparing to have your voice be heard, be silent within yourself. And this is advice I'm giving because I learned from what I did wrong in not silencing myself and being a bit too vocal earlier on in my career about some things that I could have handled so much more professionally and differently and more, with more dignity.
Yes.
I guess it's like, keep it classy, girl, right?
Keep it classy.
Keep it classy and, you know, don't be afraid. Look, at one point in my life, I was going through a job change, a cross-country move, a parent who was dying, a divorce. And a couple of years later after my divorce, my ex-husband dying in front of our children. So there's so much trauma along the way. And, you know, just don't give up. I know I use this, you know, there was one day I came home. We just had our son. It was a very loose relationship with my employer. One attorney I worked for, he got disbarred. I didn't have a job. My husband came home with a pink slip, laid off, new baby at home, new house. I mean, at that point, it's like, is this a Lifetime movie? And can I go cry in the shower?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But she just never gave up. I sold Pampered Chef.
Mm-hmm.
I did, you know, contract work. You just never give up, especially when there's other people now, other human beings relying on you.
Yes.
And I think to me, that advice that I got from that mentor years ago, you get what you give. It's now that I'm experiencing getting back. Not necessarily the accolades, but just the acknowledgement by my children, you know, by younger employees and other people that I mentor, like the acknowledgement of, man, you really went through a lot.
Yeah.
And look at you now, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that we let the storms that are occurring in our lives at every chapter, if we let them just be storms, we're never going to go anywhere.
Yes.
Storms also fade and they go away and they move.
Mm.
And that's how my life has been. It's been a constant move, but it's never been a straight line, ever.
Yeah.
The sooner you realize that it's never going to be a straight line, the better off you'll be. And, you know, one of the characteristics I look for in employees that I'm hiring is adaptability.
Yes.
You know, being able to adapt to different situations and change.
Yeah.
I look for people too that were in customer service and deal, you know, I'd rather hire the person that, you know, was a waitress dealing with crabby customers. And working her tail off than, you know, somebody with, you know, a 5.0 GPA.
Yes.
That doesn't tell me much if you don't have any life experiences.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
This is so, I hope y'all take time to rewind that part, because I really want us to really see the, as I said, the architecture of this beautiful life called Marianne, to let us know it's not a straight line. It's not a straight line. And as we started this podcast, we heard about removing mediocrity and really digging into this thing called, I am committed to myself. I'm committed to myself. So that you're committed to yourself, then you realize you can take the pieces of you and give it to your employer. Marianne, thank you for you. Girl, so good. Can
thank
y'all
you.
Give a round of applause? Give a round of applause. I'm so grateful for you taking the time to be with me today, and I cannot wait to see you in Chicago.
I can't wait to see you again.
Where
thank
can
you
we
so
learn
much,
more
Diana.
From you? Can we follow you somewhere? Can we give you like...
Yeah, follow me on LinkedIn.
Yes.
I'm on Instagram and LinkedIn and Facebook. Not on Twitter yet, but thinking about that as well too.
Yeah. Well,
so there's a good podcast out there.
You will see her at the All Rise Live Global Summit, and you will see us in a lot of pictures together, because this is going to be my girl for the rest of my life, is if I could have any say in it. So thank you so much, ladies. And people in Rise with Diana podcast land, like, subscribe, share, and we cannot wait to see you next time. Take care. Thank you for being with me today. If you found value in this podcast, be sure to like and subscribe to be notified of weekly content. You can also learn more and follow along with me on any social media channel and by going to risewithdiana.com.